Draft.com's Back Nine Report. This is our first show of the 2015 year. We're happy to be back. We come to you online every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to check in on the world of golf, to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host Fred Alvader, but I am sure that he's right now on the clouds, and I mean it. I mean, he's always talked about, you know, Toledo and Ohio being the center of the universe, of the golf universe. No, it's a sports universe right now, because as you all know, Ohio State beat Alabama this past weekend, and they're going to be in the championship game next Monday. But also, his own Toledo Rockets won the GoDaddy.com Bowl. Fred, I know you're great. How are you? Welcome again this year. How are you?
I'm trying to recover from my football coma extravaganza there on New Year's Day. I started watching at noon, watched the three Big Ten games, right into the Rose Bowl, and then right on into the Sugar Bowl with that great, great, great win of Ohio State over Alabama. And Carlos, I'm so happy. I'm still excited about the Alabama win. You know, it's a win against the SEC. It was a win against Nick Saban. You know, and I really don't care what happens with the Oregon game. Yeah, I'd like to see Ohio State do well. I know, maybe it'll change by Monday, but I'm still happy about New Year's Day and beating Alabama. But you know what? Hey, also, I don't know if you saw this story, that these same two schools met in the first ever NCAA basketball championship in 1939, with Oregon coming out the winner in what would become March Madness 76 years later. So isn't that ironic that Oregon-Ohio State meet in the first championship football game, and they met in the first NCAA basketball championship also. And Carlos, this just shows us that this playoff was needed. You know, Ohio State and Oregon probably wouldn't even been in the championship game. They probably would have put in Florida State and Alabama in that game. Isn't it ironic?
It is, but let me tell you, the fact that you should be happy, because, you know, the all-time record between these two teams playing football is 8-0 for, and the margin for Ohio State averaging a 15-point margin of victory. So, you know, I think that you should feel pretty confident, but hey, Oregon is really, really tough. You know, they like to win.
I am not. Did you see Oregon play? It looks like a track meet. It looks like a football game, man. They just run. The only thing I have to say is that it's going to be really hard for them to run real fast when Ohio State knocks them on their butt all day long. I see that coming. I don't think they're going to lay back. I think they're going to be a little more aggressive. I think they might create some problems for Oregon, but we'll see. We'll see. It should be great.
You know, I'll take the politics side. You know, Ohio State likes to win the battle of attrition. So if the scoring is tight, I think that Ohio State will win. But if they can't keep close with them, you know, they're not going to come back and beat Ohio and beat Oregon. So we'll see. No, it's going to be a great game anyway. So hey, Fred, let's start right away, like we usually do, with our Par 5 news that is going to be brought to us by United Golf Network, our newest sponsor for the Par 5 news this year. So, Fred, I believe you have some announcement about some awards that we're giving away today.
Yeah, Carlos, I got a notice today from the Golf Writers Association of America that they named Rory McIlroy, Bernhard Langer, and Stacey Lewis as their Players of the Year, to be honored at their annual dinner on Wednesday evening preceding the Masters. It was the second GWA Player of the Year award for each of those three players. McIlroy earned 94% of the votes cast for the honor. His two major wins at the Open Championship and the PGA were bookends to his title at the Bridgestone World Golf Championship. He secured his spot as the number one player in the world and is the most dominant player on the men's tour today. He also won the European Tour's flagship event, the BMW PGA, and captured that tour's season-long race to Dubai. Rory said, "Truly a great honor for me. This award is testimony to my best year as a professional golfer and something I can aim toward winning again as I go into next season." Langer, who is 57, earned 90% of the vote as Senior Player of the Year after having won two senior major titles along with his five wins. He also won the season-long Charles Schwab Cup. And Langer said, to receive the Senior Player of the Year award is a great honor and a blessing. As I mentioned, he also received the award prior in 2010. 29-year-old Stacey Lewis was the Female Player of the Year in 2012, and she secured just 57% of the vote, a little closer voting here, a true testament to the strong seasons put up by Lydia Ko and Michelle Wee. But the majority of voters were swayed by Lewis's three victories and that she led the money list, won the Vera Trophy for lowest scoring average on the LPGA Tour, and was tops in the Rolex Player of the Year standings. In Lewis's mind, those three honors, more than the wins, defined her season. "It's tough to win one, let alone all three," she said. "It's a true honor to be recognized by the GWAA Player of the Year for the second time." The winners will be honored at the 43rd ISPS HANDA GWAA Annual Awards Dinner presented by the PGA of America, the PGA Tour, and USGA on April 8th in Augusta, Georgia. And Carlos, I believe you're going to talk next a little bit about something that Rory didn't win last year. There wasn't very much, but there was something.
Yeah, you just mentioned that Rory McIlroy won the GWAA Player of the Year award for the second time in 3 years, which, you know, it added to his impressive list of achievements. So what was arguably the best year of his young career as a professional golfer, something that he even admits. So now, I understand that voting for those awards is never unanimous, but after what he did, to me, it's a head-scratcher when 94% of the GWAA members vote for him as Player of the Year. You have to wonder who the other 6% are voting for. Maybe
Ricky
those
Fowler,
ones.
Ricky Fowler got a few votes, and somebody else got a few votes. I think Keimer. Yeah.
I still don't know why, but... Anyway, you know, maybe those ones that voted for him in a tie for third place for the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year voting had the same thing in mind, maybe. You know, a list of previous winners of this award that includes the likes of Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, the great one, and I'm not talking about you, Fred. I'm talking about DJ's father-in-law, Wayne Gretzky, Jesse Owens, Joe Louis, Carl Lewis, Lance Armstrong, you know. And then San Francisco Giants pitcher Madison Bumgarner earned 38 votes to finish in first in a vote by U.S. editors and news directors. Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw, he finished second with 13 votes. And, you know, after a two-major season, a World Golf Championship, being an important piece on the winning Ryder Cup team, McIlroy tied for third with former New York Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter at 7 votes apiece. No male golfer has won the award since Tiger Woods in 2006. Tiger has won it 4 times, 1997, 1999, 2000, and most recently in 2006. Other golfers who have won this award are Gene Sarazen in 1932, Byron Nelson won it back-to-back in 1944 and 45, Ben Hogan in 1953, and Lee Trevino won it in 1971. I mean, I don't want to sound disrespectful to the captain, Derek Jeter, but, you know, a 256 batting average, 4 home runs, 50 RBIs. I mean, you have a better chance to find a needle in a haystack than finding any other baseball player not named Derek Jeter playing on his last year of a 20-year Hall of Fame career with the New York Yankees, even making it to the voting list. So I don't know why he's there. Anyway, Bumgarner, he earned 2 wins and a save during the Giants' dramatic World Series victory over the Kansas City Royals. But, hey, don't get me started. World Series is only played by U.S. teams. In the postseason, he compiled a 4-1 record. 103 ERA, 52 2/3 innings. It's a great postseason. At least Kershaw, he won the National League MVP and Cy Young Awards, which are season-long awards. How about McIlroy? Hey, he had to go cross continents in 3 weeks to win his 2 majors and a WGC back-to-back, besides being all-season long the most consistent and best player and golf player in the planet, having played against the best players all around the world. And he didn't win? My God, it's just like that 6% that didn't vote for him. Well, I guess like they say in New York, Fred, it is what it is. Congratulations to Madison Bumgarner. And Rory, don't worry, you were the people's winner, at least the golfing people's winner. Congratulations on a superb year. Look forward to seeing what you have for us on Encore this year.
Well, Carlos, I got to tell you, after Rory wins the Masters and probably another major, maybe it's St. Andrews this year, another Open, I'll bet he wins it next year. You want to bet on that one?
Let's bet on it.
Hey, Carlos, in our third news item tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the Masters. You know, it's January. We're counting down. We're like 119 days out from the start of the Masters. And you know, they've been pretty active over the last couple of years, you know, a lot of news headlines. You know, they're involved very heavily as one of the sponsors of the Drive, Chip and Putt contest. You know, they bring all the kids in there the Monday before Masters week and have that competition Sunday. You know, they've been admitting some women members. They're up to a total of 3 now there. They bring a sponsor's exemption. The winner of the Asia Pacific Amateur, you know, gets to come and play at the Masters. And you know, but the big story for this year is can Rory win that green jack to close out his career Grand Slam? It's the only major that he has not won. And with his win at the Open Championship last year, plus the 2011 U.S. Open and the 2012 and 2014 PGA Championships, he has 4 major victories and looking to close out that career Grand Slam. The 2015 Masters may have one of the largest fields that they ever had. It tries to keep the number of players under 100 due to the shortness of daylight hours in early April in Georgia, but it's already sent out 91 invitations and still has some automatic berths left that are going to probably get filled. So, and on the other side of the coin, the Masters has all announced that it has raised ticket prices by 30% this year. Not to worry, the Masters does not take advantage of its patrons in any way. The cost of a weekly pass has been increased from $250 to $325. Carlos, Big Ten college football teams get that much for a single football game each week, you know, and they fill those 100,000-plus seat stadiums week in and week out. So it's one of the best bargains in sports, for sure. You know, they're so inexpensive, they drive a whole black market industry built on the Masters tickets on a resale. You know, if you happen to get tickets and you're paying $50, well, now you're paying, what, $75 or $65 a day, whatever it is. But you can resell those things from between $500 and $1,000 a day. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, that's a pretty hefty markup for a scalper. The streets in Augusta during the tournament are just lined shoulder to shoulder to shoulder with ticket scalpers offering daily passes to prospective Masters viewers. The Internet and eBay, it's a wonder they don't blow up. They're filled with tickets for sale for any day at a price if you're willing to pay. It's only 119 days until the Masters, Carlos. I can't wait. You have
some
sad
news. Can we move the calendar forward? Can we do that?
Just think how much buildup we're going to be able to get in these next 2 months. I believe you have some sad news about a young professional that was killed in New York City over the holidays, I guess, huh?
Unfortunately, I do. You know, 27-year-old Wesley Mensing, recently named by Golf Digest as one of America's best young teachers, and 30-year-old Aaron Sarcelli, were crossing the intersection of East 62nd Street and Lexington Avenue Saturday night around 7:45 p.m. when they were struck by Mercedes SUV. That's what the police said. Both had to be removed from beneath the vehicle and were taken to a nearby hospital where Mensing was pronounced dead. So Shelley was listed in stable condition, according to authorities. A 45-year-old man who was driving the Mercedes was ticketed for being an unlicensed operator, and it was unclear if additional charges may be filed, and police said an investigation into the crash remained active. Mensing was the director of instruction at Plainfield Country Club in Edison, New Jersey, which this year will host the PGA Tour's Barclays. 2 months ago, he was recognized by Golf Digest as one of the top 40 instructors under the age of 40, Manson graduated from Methodist University in 2009 and worked as an instructor at the Jim McLean Golf School in South Florida before being hired as the director of instruction at Plainfield. The Plainfield Country Club director of golf, Scott Paris, said he had hired Wesley Manson as the club's first ever director of instruction last year. Though Manson was just 26 at the time, Paris said he was struck by his maturity and easygoing, good heart demeanor. Despite the high-profile mention on Golf Digest, Paris said that Manson was never gloated or bragged about the honor, since he was a little uncomfortable for him because he was so modest, but he was incredibly proud. Manson was recalled by colleagues as a class act whose knowledge and skill belied his young age. So this is a sad story ending for Manson, who is achieving a sterling reputation in the golf industry, where he appeared poised to rise through the ranks and potentially instruct competitors in the PGA Tour. So rest in peace, 27-year-old Wesley Manson, a very big loss for the golf world. And I have another story that I have to talk about, and it's about Sangmun Bay.
Carlos,
yes.
Before you get to Sangmun Bay, let's put in right here our condolences to the family of Stuart Scott from ESPN. I've watched him for a long time on ESPN. He was definitely a colorful guy, a different voice on that, first African-American to come into the ESPN studios and made quite an impact there. And his battle with cancer has been well documented since 2007. This was his third bout with that and finally succumbed to it the other day at the age of 49. So all the best to his family and in that difficult time. And he will be a guy that's going to be remembered, I think, for a long time because he paved his own road.
He did, and I really have to second that you're saying. I join you in the condolences to his family. And I really admire Stuart Scott. I was a fan of him. I know, like a lot of people, I didn't know him personally, but it's like you know him through the lens of the TV and what his style brought, that difference, being himself and staying and sticking with it. You know, it made him famous, and that's what really was his signature, all those phrases that he coined that are right now, you know, signature icons of the world of sports. So rest in peace, Stuart. May you be blessed, and his family, our condolences here. Hey, going back to Sangmun Bay, we'll have, he will have more on his mind than birdies and bogeys when he competes in this week's Hyundai Tournament of Champions. The issue of whether the South Korean must serve in the military in his native country remains in flux as the winner of the October's Fries.com Open prepares for the kickoff of the PGA Tour's 2015 leg of its wrap-around season. Bay's manager said on Friday night that he intends to stay in the U.S. as long as it is lawful to do so and play on the PGA Tour this year, beginning with this week's Hyundai Tournament of Champions in Kapalua, and added that as this is an ongoing legal matter, he will make no additional statements until the issue is resolved. Bay owns a valid green card and has attorneys working on his behalf in South Korea, according to his manager. All South Korean males between the ages of 18 and 35 must serve in the military for 2 years, which is a requirement that could force a 28-year-old golfer to go home by the end of the month and join the armed forces. That's according to Reuters. Failure to report could result in criminal charges brought against Bay, whose mother told Yonhap News Agency that her son's overseas travel permit was set to expire at the end of January, as per published by Reuters. Though Bay's homeland and North Korea are technically still at war because of an unsigned peace treaty after the Korean War, which was between 1950 and 1953, the Korean government has in the past waived the military obligation for winning athletes at the Asian Games and the Olympics. It remained unclear if Bay's standing as the highest ranked golfer from his country or his anticipated turn in the Olympics in Rio next year would exempt him from that conscription. Bay earned his way to the Hawaii for the Tourney of Champions with his October win at the Fries and currently sits second in the FedEx Cup rankings at the Tour's five-event wraparound campaign and is 84th in the official World Golf ranking. So hopefully he can stay here because he really has started the year strong. And, hey, we'll keep this under our view, and we'll keep you posted on whatever happens to Sangmun Bay.
Carlos, you've heard the old story that, I went to a gunfight with a knife. Well, somebody went to the golf course, a knife fight broke out, you know. So, hey, this thing happened at the Belfry over in England. And, I thought that only the U.S. Ryder Cup team got accosted at the Belfry, which was the site of four Ryder Cups. The 1985, 1989, 1993, and the 2002 Ryder Cups were held there. And it was the site of the beginning of this European dominance in the Ryder Cup over the past 30 years. Since winning at the Belfry in 1985, the Euros have won 10 of the last 15 Ryder Cups. Six people were stabbed during a New Year's Eve celebration at the Belfry in Warwickshire, England. The story states that police arrived at the Bel Air nightclub on the resort grounds and found a man with a stab wound in his chest. While people were at the scene, further incidents took place both inside and outside of the nightclub. These resulted in further five people sustaining injuries believed to be stab wounds. A New Year's Eve party had been organized as a champagne-drenched masquerade ball. Promoters promised the lavish bash at the Belfry in Sutton Coldfield would be a sexy, stylish, and sophisticated clubbing experience like no other. It was an experience like no other, that is for sure. Shortly after midnight, the party descended into a bloodbath where six people suffered stab wounds. Four were taken to a hospital, and one, a 28-year-old man, is in critical condition. Three men were arrested in relation to the stabbings. The Belfry, as I mentioned, hosted four Ryder Cups. The U.S. lost in 85 and 02 and eked out a tie, 14-14, in 1989, but did earn a 15-13 win in 1993. It was the last time Team USA won an Art Ryder Cup on foreign soil. I know they take their golf very seriously in England, Carlos, but a knife fight at the golf course, just a little too much for me.
No, I would have brought my driver. That could equalize it. I don't know, but that's tough. Hey, I believe that wraps up our Par 5 news, and you have something about our new sponsor, United Golf Network, to talk about and wrap up this segment.
Yeah, we're really happy to have United Golf Network come on board with us as a sponsor. They will be sponsoring the Par 5 News every week. And so just to talk a little bit about them, they want every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn some money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular brand names like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Wear to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories are available through United Golf Network with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, it also offers every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on product through their director's program. Instant and free access to Global Affinity, offering you discounted travel, Wyndham, endless vacations, and even a $500 GSC voucher to spend on the GAC on the site. This is a great piece to use when planning a group getaway to the beach. Saves a lot of time and money. Free membership to MyGolf in U.S., which offers you discounted golf rounds in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. Currently at 275 courses and growing daily. And also they have their online for sale by owner will allow you to sell used or new equipment and earn 50% sales volume for the sale of every product online. Visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and opportunities. Good stuff, Carlos.
Very good stuff. So check it out, www.UnitedGolfNetwork.com. And that wraps up at Par 5 News. And right now we're going to go into our next segment, which is the VIG, the very important guest of the week that we always have. This week, It's turned is by Chad Coleman. He's the vice president of sales and marketing at Full Swing Golf, which is a company founded 27 years ago by Floyd Arnold and his associates, which produce golf simulators through its indoor golf technology that features state-of-the-art courses, ball tracking, and performance products with players like Hunter Mahan, Ian Poulter, Bill Haas, and Mark Wilson backing it up on the company website. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about this interview with Chad Coleman.
You know, Carlos, here in Northern Ohio, golf simulators have become a very big business. There are like 9 facilities here in town offering 29 golf simulators in the Toledo area. They are a lot of fun and can be educational as well as helpful in improving your game. They have there's organized league play. Some of the locations are even featuring evening and weekend skin games. As you mentioned, Full Swing Golf has been in the simulator business for over 25 years. They have one of the best quality and most accurate simulators on the market today. And we had a chance to talk with their VP of Sales and Marketing, Chad Coleman, to talk about the impact simulators are having on the golf market and what golfers can learn to improve their games from virtual golf simulators. So go ahead and run the interview, Carlos.
We have Chad Coleman, who is the Vice President of Marketing for Full Swing Golf, with us today, and we're going to be talking about golf simulators. And, Chad, I'm in the northern part of the United States. It gets cold and snowy up here, and golf simulators have had a huge impact on the golf economy here over the past few years. Are you seeing that other places also?
We are, yeah. We do a lot of business in your general area and, you know, a lot of business in the Midwest and Northeast and up in Canada as well for those very reasons.
Full Swing Golf Simulators have been around for 25 years. How did the company get started, and is your, you know, what is your growth rate? How are you doing?
Yeah, we've been around for a long time. I think 28 years officially this year. The company started, Floyd Arnold was our founder. Floyd was a pioneer in indoor golf, an inventor by trade and a golf enthusiast, and he decided he wanted to make the best golf simulator that money and technology could provide. And so that he developed the foundation of what is now our 2 infrared tracking system and just started building the business from there. Floyd, unfortunately, is no longer with us, but Floyd left a great legacy and provided a fantastic foundation for what now is a growing, viable industry, and that is indoor golf.
You know, one of the things that I find interesting about the golf simulators that I really enjoy is that the chance to see your actual numbers, the swing speed, the ball speed, the carry distance, the spin rate, and some of the other important data that comes up on the screen after you hit your shot, I find this is a great benefit and can really help golfers improve their game through the winter months.
It is a great benefit. You know, there's 3 or 4 ways that we see golf simulators being used. Sometimes it's for pure entertainment, and people just want to have a drink with their family and friends and play Pebble Beach, and we do that really well. Some people are serious about game improvement. Maybe they're a 18 handicap and they want to be an 8, or they're an 8 handicap and they want to be a 2. We provide all of the valuable data that you need to be able to make those kinds of strides to improve your index and get better at the game. With all of that data. Maybe you're a club fitter or a teaching and teacher or trainer. We provide all of the tools that you need to be able to analyze what the club is doing, what the golfer is doing, and to make serious improvements there as well. So there's so much great data that's provided. It's provided in a format that's easily digestible by professionals and amateurs alike, and it really is the all-in-one solution.
On your website, fullswinggolf.com, you have some great visual flyover graphics that golfers can view to get a taste of the quality of the Full Swing simulators when they actually see them in real life.
Yeah, those flyovers are a great way to get a perspective of what the virtual simulation is like. We now have I want to say we have 86 courses currently. We'll have 92 ready to go by PGA Show, which is in late January. So excited that our course library continues to grow. We have the best private and public courses around, and you know, it's fun to see that library continue to grow and people get to play courses from all over the world and have a realistic golf experience with those courses. It's fun. I hear customers talk about, you know, before I went and played Pebble Beach in real life, I played it over and over in my simulator, and I remember bunkers being the same or water features being similar, or, you know, if there was a tree that I aimed for in the virtual game, then, you know, I saw that that same tree was there that I aimed for in the real world. You know, we go to painstaking detail to make sure that every course matches as closely to the real thing as possible.
What sets Pool Swing golf simulators apart from other golf simulators? You know, is the short game good? Are the graphics better? You know, what about the technology and the numbers and the data? How does that all compare and shake out?
Yeah, all golf simulators do things a little differently. You know, there's different ways that we track the ball, different ways that we render the graphics. There's a few things that set us apart. One is we use two different technologies for accurately rendering golf simulation. So we use infrared sensors that are built into the walls, the ceiling, and the floor that are tracking the ball speed, the direction, and the launch angle of the ball. And then we use high-speed cameras that are measuring the club head so that we get, you know, club path, club face, and club speed, as well as the spin of the ball. So these two technologies together work in conjunction with each other to give you a very accurate depiction of what the ball would have done outdoors, indoors, in a virtual environment. And one thing that sets our tracking system apart as well is that because it uses infrared light, things happen at the speed of light, so there's no latency. So sometimes you see on TV, on various golf simulators here and there, you see that the ball hits the screen, and then the system has to think for a minute or two before the ball then continues into the virtual world. On our system, it's instantaneous. It's seamless from real world to virtual world. And that's something that only we can do with the tracking system that we use. So that's one of the many things that set us apart. Another is that we don't have any moving parts. There's no need to repetitively calibrate our system because everything is fixed. There's no need to continue to calibrate, whereas some of the other systems require frequent calibration, especially if they're entirely camera-based and those cameras have to talk to each other. They need to be calibrated. Lastly, we don't need any markings on the ball or the club, which is fantastic. Imagine trying to manage an inventory of marked balls or marked clubs. You can grab anything, any club, any ball off the rack and use it in our sim, and it's ready to go.
As you mentioned, you've been around for many years, and I think I read that you're in 408 locations in over 49 countries worldwide. You've had over 2.6 million holes played, and you had 7 holes and ones recorded on your simulators.
Well, it's actually – so what the numbers that you've just given are statistics from our indoor golf club, and so – the numbers are actually staggeringly larger than that if you were to count all of the rounds that have been played and holes and ones that have happened that were not played online among our entire installation base. But we do have this online golf club where we have tens of thousands of users that log in and they compete in online tournaments. Some of those are very closed-circuit tournaments just to a specific indoor golf center or region, and some of those are worldwide tournaments where people are competing against folks in South Africa and Russia and Sweden and everywhere else. So what those statistics are that you've seen are actually numbers from our indoor golf club, which is, you know, those numbers continue to grow exponentially as folks continue to compete online.
You dropped some pretty good names on your website also, Donald Trump, Wally Uline, Richard Marriott, all have full-swing golf simulators in their residences, Princeton University, Lambeau Field, and Queen Mary all are using your simulators in their facilities. And some golf professionals also, Hank Haney uses them, Ian Poulter, Mark Wilson. So and you're currently like on the Golf Channel and ESPN and some of those kind of places. So you're getting noticed pretty much everywhere.
We are, yeah. We've been around for a while, and we have the top of the line simulator, and so it's been nice that those that can buy any system that they choose Full Swing Golf. We've added some to our system as well. We have Bill Haas that's recently installed a machine in his home. Hunter Mahan is another that has an install in his home, and a few more that are in the works that I can't disclose yet. And these are customers. These are people that are buying simulators. We don't give any simulators away. These are folks that are buying them, and they're using them for serious practice. We are on the Golf Channel, not more commonly that where you're seeing Michael Breed, but we are featured on the Hank Haney Project, where we have machines installed in Hank Haney's facilities, and you're able to see, you know, Michael Phelps and Sugar Ray Leonard and, you know, Adam Levine, various golfers that have been on the Hank Haney Project that have been seen on our simulators. We do the ESPN Super Bowl party every year, and we've been featured on various ESPN programs. You mentioned HBO. We're on Entourage. For those that are Entourage fans, we've been on a few seasons there where our sim was featured in the main house. Also, we've been on the Dan Patrick Show for a number of years. We have a simulator in the man cave, and they certainly get a lot of great use out of that. Dan Patrick had a hole in one on Pebble number 7, which is a fun moment in TV to see him rejoice and, you know, fall to his knees and get excited about getting a hole in one.
Yeah, Faraday was just they were playing around with that on Faraday Dan Patrick segment here just a week or so ago.
Yes, they were. Yeah, they put the simulator to good use.
Well, Chad, Full Swing Golf, you can find it at fullswinggolf.com. So if you're looking for a simulator to put in your home, if you're looking maybe at a facility that you want to put a golf simulator in for a retail or a training club or something like that, go to fullswinggolf.com and get in touch with these people, and they can get you set up, correct?
That's right. We'd love to help. Or come see us at the PGA show as well. We'll be at booth 2743.
Fantastic. Chad, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And we will definitely look for you down in Orlando.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me.
So there you have it. That was an interview with Chad Coleman, VP of Sales and Marketing at Full Swing Golf, the provider of the ultimate indoor golf experience to players worldwide. And Fred, for what I saw there, I mean, from what I heard there, and for what I've seen in their website, I mean, they have a pretty unique product. And when you ask him about what set them apart, is the instantaneous reaction and follow through of the ball flight. Of once you swing your ball and all that. So have you seen this? You mentioned there's some there in Toledo. So can you tell us a little bit more about how it works?
Yeah, we don't. I've never played on a Full Swing simulator, but we have two companies here in town that kind of divide up the market a little bit. About Golf, which is actually made right here in Toledo, is in several locations, and also True Golf is in several locations. So I've used both of those. For me, Carlos, I don't play many golf courses on it. I really just go and like hit balls on the range for an hour and look at my numbers, especially watch spin rate and launch angle and ball speed and those kind of things. I can learn a lot from that, and it gives me a good workout for an hour just hitting balls. When I did play a course one time, and I found, hitting from the tee to the fairway and fairway to green, that works really well. It's when you are trying to chip and putt. Short game stuff is a little bit of a challenge. You have to work on that and kind of understand the differences, the nuances between virtual golf and being on a real golf course. So that's a little bit of a challenge on all of them, but you just have to kind of learn how that works if you're going to play the golf course. But they're a lot of fun. And my son was up here visiting over the holidays. I took him down to the one that's near my house here, and we spent an hour down there hitting balls. It was a blast. He drank a couple beers. And there's one that I frequent that a friend of mine has that – We will have him on the show here in a month or two. He's a pro here in town, and it's connected to one of the more popular bar restaurants here in town, and so the people can be in there. You can be in there on the golf simulators, and the waiters and waitresses come right over and take your food order and your drink order, and so it's a blast. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, they're getting a lot of play here in town. It's become a real boom to the economy here.
Sounds nice, and at least you're not going to get tired by walking the golf course. So that's a
no.
That's a plus. Well, that wraps up our VIG, Very Important Guest of the Week segment. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to start talking a look ahead to the 2015 PGA Tour season. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time to start with our practice range and talk a little bit on a look ahead to the 2015 year on the PGA Tour. And we're going to start talking about the tournament so far. You know, this already started the wraparound season back in October with the Fryes.com Open. Sanghoon Bay won there. Then Ben Martin won at the Shriners. Robert Streb won the McLaddery. Ryan Moore won at Kuala Lumpur, the CIMB Classic. Nick Taylor surprised everyone at the Sanderson Farm. Bubba Watson surprised everyone at the WGC Championship there at the HSBC in China. And Charlie Hoffman won the OHL Classic at Mayakoba. But now the PGA Tour begins this year in Hawaii with the Hyundai Tournament of Champions at Kapalua Resort, where a strong select field, including defending champion Zach Johnson, has assembled to battle for a sizable prize fund there. Just 34 players will tee it up this week in an event that's only open to players who won an official PGA Tour event during the 2014 calendar year. FedEx Cup winner Billy Horschel and Masters champion Bubba Watson are among those in the start sheet. The PGA kicks off the year more of a daily double than a swing in Hawaii. It's just a loop, as most of these players will make the short flight from Maui to Honolulu next week to play the Sony Open, where Jimmy Walker won the second of his three early wins last year and established himself as a dark horse contender for the FedEx Cup. The tour then will be in its West Coast swing the following week, where starting with Patrick Reed taking his talents to the PGA West in La Quinta to defend the title of the Humana Challenge. Then they'll move to the newly renovated TPC Scottsdale in Phoenix for the Waste Management Phoenix Open, known as the greatest and greenest show on grass, with a great fan atmosphere. Kevin Stadler is the champion there. Fred, then the Farmers Insurance Torrey Pines, won by Scott Stallings. The AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am, won by Jimmy Walker, and the Northern Trust Open at Riviera Golf Club, won by Bubba Watson, complete that West Coast swing before they head east to PGA National for the Honda Classic and Rustin Henley defending there. So I look forward to this, especially the tournament, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I want to see what Kaipov did there with the TPC Scottsdale.
You know, Carlos, it's starting the Hawaii swing. You know, they're playing the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, of course. They're at Kapalua, Core Crenshaw Design from 1991. It was their first one. Zach Johnson, defending champ. He's back in the field, of course. As you mentioned, there's 34 names. Jason Day, Patrick Reed, Hunter Mahan, Matt Kuchar, Chris Kirk, Billy Horschel, Jeff Ogilvy, and Bubba Watson. And, Carlos, do you realize this is the eighth official event of the year already, of 2015? It's the first week of the year. It's the eighth event.
The first.
Yeah. So, I mean, the season is the season's almost 25% over already, okay? But the bigger story to me is who's not here. Martin Kaymer, Players Champ, U.S. Open Champ. Rory, two majors in the Bridgestone. you know, you got three of the major winners are not here. Bubba's the only one. Bubba and Jason Day are the only two from the top 10 of the official world golf ranking that are in the field this week. You know, and Kapalua never fails, you know, never disappoints. It always gives great television pictures, beautiful palm trees, ocean views, wind and low scoring, you know, whales jumping and all that good stuff. It's always fun to watch on TV. And Sony, of course, the first full field event next week. You get to look at a lot of the new PGA Tour rookies. The big names, again, don't venture all the way to Hawaii to play, for that little a purse. You got Sony Open, Jimmy Walker's defending, and Chris Kirk, who was a runner-up last year. Both went on to have great years last year. But besides you and me and a couple hundred other golfaholics, who's going to watch, Carlos? You know, nobody watches those things. You know, I've said it before, the PGA Tour does a lot of things right. They donate a ton of money to charity. They promote their top players well. They run a clean organization. They provide a great place for the pros to play. But they definitely have not gotten the message on the beginning of the season. No one wants to play in Hawaii. How sad is that, not wanting to go to paradise? I'll go, but, you know, nobody else wants to go. No Rory, no Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, Adam Scott, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Ricky, Jordan. You know, it's just the top guys are not going to be there. So the PGA Tour needs to get some of its biggest cash sponsors together and have a huge blowout event. Take the top 50 in the world and have a $10 million purse. Everybody's going to watch, football or no football. It doesn't matter. You get that kind of a field together, go to Hawaii, go someplace nice, and you really do something great. Be like NASCAR. Start out with your Super Bowl, the first event. You know, it just seems like every year the PGA starts with a thud to me. It's wonderful. I love looking at the pictures of Hawaii. It gets me fired up. I want to play, I think they could just do so much more with it. I'm disappointed every year.
Yeah, just like you're thinking. That's what Rory, Martin, and everybody's thinking. You know, they can look at it better under TV, so why go there? that's the problem.
Yeah, they get to go to nice places every week, so, you know.
Yeah, so Hawaii's
no big deal. They can go whenever they want.
No big deal. They can do, whenever they want. They can take their own private jet and get there. But, no, like you say, I think they have to do something if they really want to start the year with a blast, because right now, this is going to be a snooze maybe until the waste management went, you know, everybody starts playing big time there at Torrey Pines, then maybe that's where Tiger Woods will start playing. And really until February is when everybody then starts playing. And really they lose a lot of the big names in like the first 10 or 11 tournaments. And this one, they go there, 34 players, just because they won. But that doesn't mean that they're the best players out there. So hopefully they do something about it. And, hey, let's talk a little bit about some players to watch this year. Young players, veteran players. Let's start with the young players. Let's say, first for me, what does Jordan Spieth has in store for us after his terrific end to 2014? Hopefully this winter break hasn't cooled his momentum off, because he's currently the hottest player on the planet and doesn't turn 22 until the summer. I mean, if anyone can challenge Rory this year, it has to be him. If he's able to live up to the lofty expectations on him after what he did to end the 2014 and what he has been doing before that. The sky's the limit with this guy. This is one of the young players to look forward to this year. I look forward to also to seeing Brooks Koepka play his first full year on the PGA Tour. He's currently 24 only. He has the potential to be the bona fide star, and he has the talent to become this year's breakout star. He's got a win under his belt from the Turkish Open in November and a top five finish in a major, having tied for fourth at the last year's U.S. Open. He finished last year ranked number 34 in the world, which is an improvement of 52 spots
from a year ago. That means he's only two spots behind Tiger Woods and ahead of such stars as Jason Duffner, who's 38, and Steve Stricker, 41st. Also, it's time for the charismatic Ricky Fowler to revisit the winner's circle and maybe get his maiden major win. That is where he set out to compete in last year and accomplished that goal in a spectacular fashion. He finished in the top five in all four events, including seconds at both the U.S. and British Open. He didn't win one, but he was in the top five. That's great, but with only one win in 5 years on the tour, coming in the 2012 Wells Fargo Championship, he's the first to say that he has to change that, and that will be his goal for this year. His rise in the world ranking alone, he went from 40th at the end of 2013 to 9th a few weeks ago and ends the year at 10th, says that he's more than capable. Number four and five, the last two I have are two of my guys, Fred, Hideki Matsuyama and Carlos Ortiz. At 22, Hideki Matsuyama already has a PGA Tour win, last year's Memorial, and he's ranked 16th in the world. He's had world-class talent for years, and last year he was hampered for most of the year by thumb and wrist injuries, and he's now fully healthy. This could be the year for a major breakthrough from him. And Ortiz was the man last year on the Web.com Tour, when he was the only player to win multiple times, and he won three times and earned his automatic berth to the PGA Tour by that and finishing second on the money list. He's 23 years old from Mexico. He has shown the talent on the field, and what we heard from him on an interview on the show last year, he also has the confidence to know that he has what it takes to play with the big ones. Of course, Rory McIlroy. He's a young star to watch everywhere. But those five would be the ones. As for the veterans, Fred, I think it might be old news, but Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Luke Donald, Lee Westwood have to be the ones that you have to look for. It isn't too often that Tiger Woods gets enthusiastic about finishing a tournament 26 strokes off the lead, but that grin on his face after the Hero World Challenge in early December had nothing to do with the score and everything to do with the fact that he was playing pain-free. While Jordan Spieth sprinted to that victory at 26 under, he and his new swing consultant, Chris Como, were ironing out a revamped game and drawing early praise. That in itself offers reason to look forward to see what he can do this year and how far can he rebound. Phil Mickelson, the worst year of his professional career last year. He's 44, he's going to turn 45. He still says he can have a crack at two or three more U.S. Opens, and that's the one that he wants to win. Let's see how can he rebound. And two former number ones, Luke Donald and Lee Westwood, what can they do? All four look like they are on the downfall of the starting to go on the downside of their careers. Can they rebound? Can they play with these young guns that are right now coming out, Fred? That's going to be the question.
Carlos, you really disappointed me tonight. I'm really saddened. A guy that I had on my list.
Don't tell me, Sergio.
You didn't mention Sergio.
Because I'm going to be looking forward for him every week. I mean,
you know, he's number five in the world. Number five, Carlos. You know, he's at the age, you know, he needs to win a major. He needs a major now. But who's he going to beat? Is he going to beat Jordan Spieth? Is he going to beat Ricky Fowler? Is he going to beat Rory? It's going to be tough for him to win a major, man. And then you got Tiger coming back. If Tiger's even a shadow of his old self, you know, the majors should be fun this year. They should be a lot of fun. They weren't bad last year. And then we haven't even talked about Bubba. And then here's another guy. Here's another guy, Carlos, you didn't mention. Paulina's better half. DJ, he's coming back in February. You think he's going to be able to play a little bit? So, you know what? I have trouble limiting this. I really like the names. As a matter of fact, I had most of the names that you have. And I split them up, old guys and young guys, okay? I got, in the old guy category, I got Tiger, Phil. Another name you didn't mention, Lee Westwood. You know, the time
yes,
is
I
now
did,
for
yeah.
Lee Westwood. Oh, did you mention
yes,
him?
Yes, I did mention. Yeah, it
I'm
was
sorry.
Luke Donald and Lee Westwood, yes.
Yeah, okay. Lee's got it. Lee, the time is now for him. He's got to make something happen. He's got to make something happen quick. you know, he's had a nice career, nothing bad against him, but, you know, great Ryder Cupper, just like Monty. You know, he's won everything in Europe. He's won everything they can do, been a stalwart on the Ryder Cup, probably will be in the Hall of Fame. But, boy, he could sure use a major or two before he hangs them up. Luke Donald, I look for him to come back. I think he's going to get back to just playing golf and quit thinking about it so much. And then, of course, like I say, Tiger and then Phil. And I think Phil just might be pretty much done. I mean, we might see a flash of brilliance from here or there, but over the course of the season, I don't think it's going to happen on a consistent basis. But the young guys are the ones I'm most excited about. And, Carlos, you know, you and I usually at the beginning of the year pick two or three or four young guys, really young guys that we really like. And I haven't done that this year. You know, you mentioned Carlos Ortiz. We got to talk to him last year. We watched him all year on theweb.com. But I'm most excited about Rory, Ricky, and Jordan. I think those three guys are going to form the nucleus, kind of the power base to watch week in and week out whenever they tee it up. And I don't know if Koepka can join that group. He's got the mindset to do it. I don't know if he's got the game to do it over the whole course of the whole year. So we'll see. And then you also have Bubba. As up and down as he is, if he wins, I mean, he could very well win this week because this course sets up well for him. You can drive it anywhere and still have a great shot into the green. You know, he can reach the par fives and two, and he could win there. And so he could jump to the top of the FedEx Cup here early in the year, rolling through California and into Florida at the top of the FedEx Cup leaderboard rolling into Augusta. So a lot of stuff to watch for, but I really like the dynamic of the young versus the old. I really think there's a lot there to watch, Carlos, and that's what I'm going to be looking at over the next few weeks.
And we certainly will be doing that and definitely looking forward to this year. I think it's going to be fireworks at the majors, fireworks. Can't wait for the Masters and see if Rory can do it and complete his career Grand Slam. Hey, Fred, two more minutes for some final putts. You have some for us?
Yeah, just a couple of things real quick. Paul McGinley said that the European Ryder Cup captain will probably be named by March. They're evidently pretty well into that process. I think Darren Clark is the prohibitive favorite on that. Morgan Pressel had her eighth annual tournament at Boca Raton last week for breast cancer. They raised around $700,000, which totals brings her total to around $4 million they've raised in the 8 years they've had it. So good for her. Job well done there. We had a golf reference in the football playoffs. Head Cowboy football coach Jason Garrett used a golf analogy in his win over the Lions on Sunday when he had fourth and six at the end of the game. He said he didn't want to have a layup. He said when you're playing Augusta and you're in the hunt, you don't lay up, you go for it. And so he had his quarterback Romo go for it on fourth and six. So they made it, and they might have had some help from the referees, but anyhow they won the game and they got a playoff win. And of course, you know, Tony Romo is a huge golf fan and has even tried to qualify for the U.S. Open in the past. So yeah, that was just some quick notes that I had there at the end. So that's everything I have, Carlos. If you want to wrap it up, really been fun to get back in the show. The break was great, but I really miss talking golf with you, Carlos.
Really did. The Back Nine Report, presented by eDraft.com, is back in this new year, 2015. And we look forward to keep bringing you all the news, the latest insights and analysis for you. Well, Back Niners, that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report, presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. And thank you for listening to us for the past hour. Special thanks to our VIG, very important guest of the week, Chet Coleman, VP of Sales and Marketing at Full Swing Golf. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Block Talk Radio, and also through TuneIn or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Our Twitter ID is at @BackNineReport. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alvader. We wish you to be happy and be blessed and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.